Okay.
All right, let's do it early.
We're episode 10, right?
Yep.
Okay. Ooh. In five. Wait. Am I counting me down? What
no,
are you doing?
Nobody's counting. This is where we have nothing. So you
no
can
one's
see,
doing anything.
So you can see where we start.
All right. Okay. Is the pointing mean I start?
Yeah. Now you messed it up. The whole idea is to give you a blank spot.
I
so
did
you
that
can
on
go
purpose.
Like, oh, that's the
okay,
start.
I know. All right. Everybody, welcome to Play This Podcast, episode number 10. I'm Carl Svedella. With me, as usual, is Mr. Jason Cross.
Hey, Carlos, how's it going?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing? You have a Double Fine Adventure shirt on.
I do.
I'm
I got that
for
giving them money.
I know. It's coming soon.
We have a new guest today.
Yeah, well, we first, DJ A-Dubs. Right. He's still here.
Sorry.
And apologize for it. Alex Warrow's in the house, guest usual.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex, what's the best thing you played this week?
XCOM.
Oh, wasn't that last week?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, did you play it on PC or?
PC.
All right, good boy.
It's fantastic.
Good boy. Did you pat him on the head? You should pat him
on
the
head.
Good
job, Warrow.
And we have with us Nate Rolfe.
Hello. Hello.
How you doing?
Doing all right. Doing all right.
Of Tech Hive as well as The Verge.
Yeah.
Many things.
Of many things.
Of
PC
many things.
World.
Yeah. Now he's Hello. Of Nate Rolfe.
I'm of Nate Rolfe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
NateRolfe.com?
He's doing his own thing.
Yeah.
Wow. There's the pimp.
The people.
That happened. And what's the favorite thing you've been playing this week?
I want to say Dishonored, but I'm probably going to go with Chirobotica.
We're going to talk about that today.
Yeah, we can talk about it.
How convenient.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
We have a lot of other stuff to talk about. Mr. Jason Cross, give us the rundown.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, Nate wanted to talk about 1 million, which we mentioned before. But
it's 10 million, isn't it?
No, you're right, it's 10 million. We should bring it up again because it's awesome.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the new dashboard update for the Xbox. And you wanted to talk about Zombie Driver HD, even though I'm sick of zombies.
I know. One thing of mine is always a zombie, but...
Yeah, and we're going to make Alex talk about Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to go to town on Steve Martin.
So there's going to be
not like mad at him or anything. I just got off on a Steve Martin thing this week.
I don't know if Schwarzenegger really counts as an actor. He's sort of above and beyond
He's kind of a legend.
He's more than an actor.
He's something, that's
he's
right.
He's so
sure.
much more than a regular.
And we have some movie trailers we're going to talk about
and
some other stuff. Lots of stuff. But let's get started with Xbox Update.
Yeah.
Because that happened.
They released the dashboard update. Just before they released Windows 8, just before they released all the things in the last week.
All the things.
Windows Phone,
just happened, Microsoft. And it's just okay. I mean, it's functional. It's like you said, it's because of all these other things coming out.
Right.
They have to get ready for Xbox Music and all the different things.
Right.
But as in just actual like aesthetic updates or whatever.
It's not a huge
not really.
Change. The major thing I like about it is you can pin something to that start screen.
I know. Yeah. /confused. It's what? Pinterest in Xbox.
No,
it's
nothing like Pinterest.
Well, no, I know, but they didn't take the word pin from Pinterest. You tell me that?
No. But Microsoft's been using that since like ancient Zune days, Windows Phone
7, I guess they have.
Way before.
Yeah.
Pinterest.
I mean, just
I think of Pinterest though, which is maybe my problem.
I think that's your problem.
Yeah.
So, but then when I did pin a game though, I didn't really see what the benefit was. Can
someone
explain to me?
It stays there.
I mean,
it stays there.
It's kind of it's sad because what it's saying is that the last update kind of made it really difficult to get to your games.
Right.
So
right.
Now there's an easy way to put your like downloaded games, your indie games, the games that you want to play but don't want to go through three menus to get to, right on the front page right away.
Doesn't that
right.
seem like it's kind of a reverse hack then in a way? Like, hey, we know we like messed up.
That's
exactly
what
games.
It is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. It's like, oops, too many ads.
Yeah. So here's this other thing so you can put it in the front. All right.
It's good. It's a mild improvement.
Yeah, it is mild.
And they updated Xbox Music, and they updated a couple other.
And your games look a little different. Like the boxes around them look a little different.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the actual, are there any actual major features they've added?
I think Xbox Music was the big.
Yeah.
That was the big thing. Yeah.
And I guess laying the groundwork for Smart Glass, which they kind of already did.
That's true. Right. It adds support for Smart Glass, but that only releases
with Windows 8.
With Windows 8 for Windows 8 devices, and it's not going to get anywhere until they release the iOS and Android versions. They're doing that. They're doing it for iPhones and Android.
I already think it's kind of neat, though.
It is pretty neat.
It's so neat, and some of the developers are doing with it is super cool.
Yeah.
It's
like, hold on. We need to take a moment of silence or something like that. Alex just said something's neat. Like, he was like excited about something. Kind of. It seemed like...
Of course.
I know, but
I love
sometimes a rarity.
Things.
You're like, wait, guys, this is really cool, actually.
No, I think Smart Glass it could be really fantastic. And even right now, in its prototypical stage, when there's not a lot of support and it's very basic, it's fantastic to log into that and have, like, open on your PC and see your achievements, like, as you clock them in, appearing on this beautiful graph and seeing as your friends and all stuff. It's great.
Yeah. And then the idea to take the stuff and throw it to your TV, the TV being a second screen for a bunch of different menus and stuff.
I want to believe, man. I want to believe.
Okay, cool. I'm blown away because there's, like, optimism coming off of Alex Warr.
What I love is a lot of games that do a lot of stuff where you go into a menu for something, they're basically going to put that menu on your tablet. Yeah, or phone,
right?
So that you don't have to dig into a menu, and you can do on there, and that's gonna and that there's a whole unplanned like two player thing that happens when that happens because then you always get your friend, your girlfriend, whoever who it's not a two player game in any way, but you give them your tablet, your smart glass or something, and then you're always telling them, okay, select my this or something, just as a way to kind of bring everybody in and make them part of the thing. Even if you can't play better that way, it's still more fun, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
My girlfriend would have none of that. Just like your own damn stuff. What are you doing? Let me play.
Throw your
tablet. That's right. Yeah. She's like, give me the controller, right?
Let's talk about some games. Okay. We do like a game section.
Sure.
I'm going to start with the Zombie Driver thing.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Because I guess, did it come out before? Because this is Zombie Driver HD. I'm not sure if released before this.
Is it a Flash familiar, and it can't be.
I played this.
This game has been around for a while.
Yeah, is it? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, but it's cleaned up and, you know, put out for the XBLA, which is what I got it for.
Right.
It was just really fun. There's lots of weird things about it. Obviously, I'm obsessed with zombies right now with Walking Dead. And I know. But, it was fun to drive a car around and smash zombies and get different weapons and shoot zombies with missiles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's bosses in the game, though. And at some point...
It's a top-down drive
top and down
shoot.
View. Yeah, lots driving of zombies. Shoot. Yeah. And the bosses... I don't know if you guys... How many of you guys have played it?
I played the not HD, but I played the regular Zombie Driver.
Okay. But when you get to a boss, driving and shooting a boss is hard. Like, you drive your car and then go around the corner and... Come back around the corner and shoot him.
Do another pass.
Go backwards, reverse.
They need some turrets or something.
Does it play like a bullet hell? Like like what's it called? Not Ikagura. I'm thinking like Geometry Wars or something like that.
No, not really, because it's really like the physics of a top down view of a car.
Okay.
And then trying to drive and reverse and handbrake and then shoot a boss. It's weird.
Yeah, it's just a top down shooting game. Driving. It's not like a Spy Hunter or something where you're always going forward on this road. It's like a big open map and you drive around and shoot.
There's some terrible voice acting as well. Okay. And there's some really interesting dialogue. I have a couple of choice sections.
Yeah.
One was, this is just like the history of the game and the beginning of the intro. And he's like, the mayor was totally pissed about his city being destroyed. The mayor was totally pissed. Okay, good. Let's talk at a higher level of education.
Yeah.
Then the next one is... I rescued some guy, and he's like, wow, I thought I'd be rescued by the army, but a taxi's even more rad. Because I was in a taxi.
I approve of this.
It's hard for me to argue that sentiment, yeah.
I know. You guys are like, this sounds great.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's simple, fun. I had a good time with the driving part of it, but the bosses made me freak out. I can't kill bosses in a car.
Oh. Yeah, or it's like this weird thing of making passes at them. Like, you just keep driving past.
Hit on the bosses. You're like, come on.
Hey, come here often.
Okay, what's you want to talk about your game?
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about Cairobotica.
Sure. Do it.
It's Cairosoft. They make simulation games. You've probably played Game Dev Story. They're kind of like, are you buying it right now?
It's so Japanese, you guys.
It's a grind, and it's kind of an RPG. But the point of Cairobotica is like you control this like space colony of robots, and you're like the universe's police force. So you have a space colony, and you build buildings that create more robots, and then tourists come and visit you, and that's how you earn your income. Like, tourists come, and
so it's a sim game, kind of
it's a sim game, but it's also an RPG in the sense that you build these robots and then you level them up by fighting crime on planets. And it's super bizarre and it's really grindy, but like all the Cairosoft games, I've just kind of fallen into a hole with it.
You just like never come out.
I think I played Game Dev Story on a flight once, like the whole 6-hour flight. All I did was turn on my thing and start playing Game Dev Story, and then I was really mad because my battery was about to die.
Question, why isn't Game Dev Story on the iPad yet, like the iPad version yet? It's just an iPhone version.
Yeah, you
double two times
it. I think they just kind of moved on from that one. That was like their first one that really blew up.
Because I want to see it like in the nice detailed,
Yeah. All the other ones since then have got an iPad version.
They need better interfaces.
That's what I want to ask. Is Cairobotica on iPad?
It's currently Android only.
Ooh.
But all their games always start on Android, and then they eventually port it to iOS years later.
Yep.
And I mean, at some point, when we start having these conversations about games that are mobile, we can talk about, and then they ported it to Windows 8.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
Maybe.
Hopefully. I mean, we'll come on, another platform. All right, well, that sounds cool. Get that game.
Yeah.
Nate approves. What else?
10 million.
10 million, yeah, which I've already talked about before, but it's a great game.
Yeah, I'm terrible at these puzzle games, but there's something about just like the peril that you feel when your dude's like at the end of the map.
So to describe how this works, you have a guy who runs from left to right through a dungeon fighting monsters.
Every now and then
you're playing, it's a match three game, but it's one of the ones where you like slide a whole row or column.
Right.
And you match three, you know, this thing to do damage, match three these things to move forward, that kind of stuff.
But the problem is it only counts when you do it at the right time. So if you match three swords and there's no enemy in front of you, you just wasted that attack.
Yeah. That's right.
So it's like it's a matter of like I spend all my time just trying to like match around all the special items that I want.
You have to strategize a little bit.
Well, one of the big strategies they taught me or someone taught me was the stones and the wood thing. Just get rid of them as soon as possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then just starts making combos happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you want, you know, you don't want to use your keys when you're not at a locked door, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I tell you what though, even as good as I got, I was like, oh, I'm getting the hang of this. You know the Matrix mode where you're okay, got it. Then all of a sudden I still would just get into a, oh no, wait, what? No, wait, what? Yeah. And then I would just still panic.
Yeah.
The worst panic move always you can make in that game is not to make a move.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Every second you're not taking a moment is like a second that you are.
You're not taking a moment?
You know what's funny? You had the smartest thing ever said on the podcast and then just the dumbest thing said. It was like perfectly. Because that first one was like, wow, that makes sense. Hell, that's perfect. And then you're like,
that's like a Zen Cohen. Oh, no.
Never mind.
We can just cut that second one out.
Yeah, I can. I'm post. I won't.
No. No, but the great thing about it is you don't play for a very long time, but then you get like gold and experience to spend to like get better.
Upgrade.
And ideally, you're getting better, but I'm just kind of grinding and just slogging and throwing that's myself.
What level are you?
Whatever the lowest one is.
Well, one, I think. I think probably. One is the lowest.
You haven't opened any of the rooms
No,
yet?
I've opened two of the rooms, actually. Okay. I've opened two of the rooms.
Yeah.
But
you're like, whatever the first part
it's,
of the game.
It's super addictive, though.
Yeah,
it is.
It's like you every time you finish playing, you're like, I'm just going to play one more Torian.
Yeah.
And that's I'm good.
I do have to say, like, it's kind of frustrating because you win that game by getting 10 million or more in a single run. And I've gotten to the point where I've unlocked everything. I've unlocked almost every ability and all the potions, and I'm only getting regularly like 5 or 6 million on
now you just have to stop being so terrible.
Yeah, now I have to actually get good at the game.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
That's too bad.
Well, play 10 million, we still approve. We approve first
fantastic.
Time, we approve also now.
Let's finish out the games. And
Funky Smugglers.
Funky Smugglers.
I just want to call out 10 million is on the iOS App Store, and you have to actually put in the numbers. Like, it's not the word 10 million. It's 10,
it's
1
and
like 7
and seven
zeros.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and no
yeah.
commas.
Funky Smuggler is fantastic. Like, it's out today, so it's been out for a while when you hear this. It's like 99 cents on the iOS App Store.
What is Funky Smugglers about?
It's basically just Fruit Ninjas. But okay, all right. So
and next thing. Next
well, topic. But it's Fruit Ninja in that you are tapping your finger on the screen and dragging it across items quickly. But it's got a great soundtrack, a fantastic like visual aesthetic. It's fun and it's super cheap. So I think you should get it. The soundtrack alone, I think,
it's probably worth $99.
Yeah. You were playing it earlier in the studio.
Yeah. So what you do in Funky Smuggler is like the conceit of the game is that you are working basically for the TSA as a bunch of like 70s era smugglers try to sneak by in front of your x-ray machine with like apples in their hair or shoes in their jackets or like bombs. Like old ladies will have bombs in their purses.
Because as they often do.
Yeah.
So as they walk by, you see their skeletons kind of just like doing a little funky walk. And then you'll see green items, which are illegal and presumably in 3 ounce bottles or less. And then you'll see red items, which you have to immediately swipe off the screen before they walk by.
It's kind of like Operation. If you hit the wrong thing, though, it kind of buzzes and says, don't do
but
that.
But also the Fruit Ninja part where you can combo your slides so you can get multiple things at a time, but you have a timer for how long you can drag them. And then also there are like occasionally bombs where we get thrown up by an old lady and you have to swipe them out of the air.
Oh, ladies and those bombs.
Yeah.
Jeez. Also, savage.
I saw some hammers in people's hair. Like, what kind of world is this?
It's a funky world.
It's a funky world with funky smugglers.
And you can play on teams. I haven't figured that out yet. But like basically you can team up with people. Like I'm currently on Team Funk versus Team Ganyam.
Oh, okay.
And we're winning.
Okay.
But just barely. And as far as I tell, then whenever you play a game, your points go to the team score and you all work together.
If you ever just want to be on the top team for any of these iOS games that do this, the like collective team thing, just put Touch Arcade in there.
Yeah, totally.
They always have like the biggest team.
What did you say? Ganyam, as in the Gangnam?
As in Gangnam Style, yeah.
That just reminded me. There's a video on Funny or Die. You should go play.
Yes,
it's what's that guy's name from Star Wars? The terrible guy.
Darth Vader.
No, the terrible. Computer generated guy.
Banks?
Yeah, Jar Jar Binks. It's like he's in it, but then it gets really funny.
Okay.
Also, before we finish the games, Earn to Die HD, the game I mentioned a little while ago, which is the HD version for iPad of the zombie, again, car game.
Driving, game.
There's an update for Halloween, and you smash pumpkins.
Okay.
So, pumpkins I like it.
Pumpkins zombies.
But, and it's free.
But,
it's free.
Halloween's over now, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. When you listen to this,
if you
want to
reminisce
Halloween.
About Halloween. All right, what's next?
Let's start talking about movies.
Okay, yeah.
So you've got this trailer for this thing called Holy Motors. I don't know what this is all about.
I'm going to do two trailers
okay.
and educate you all on them.
Sure.
Okay.
For some reason, I'm talking like this now. First one is... Oh, stop that. First one's Holy Motors.
Yeah.
And this guy, what's his name?
You said guy from Radiohead, so
guy from
that's
Radiohead.
Totally clear to me.
It's not that. It's Dennis Levant.
Okay.
He was in the Radiohead video, DJ Shadow Radiohead video. What's that song? Anyways, Rabbit in the Headlights.
Okay. Oh, wow.
He's that. Remember that creepy little guy?
Yeah.
It's a great video.
Yeah, yeah.
If you haven't know, if you haven't seen that video, people listening, go watch that video. Rabbit in Your Headlights. It's Time York and DJ Shadow, but they had that separate. Uncle,
yeah.
You're like Uncle Carlos? So go watch that video. So he stars essentially now in this new movie, Holy Motors. It's hard to explain. Just go watch the trailer. But I think it's going to be amazing.
But what kind of movie is it? Is it a horror movie?
It's
comedy?
About it's
zombies and cars, it sounds like.
Nice. It's a zombie movie. And they're in cars. No, the guy changes like who he is like a few different times in the movie. He's a weird little character with a weird, you know, beard, and then he all of a sudden he's like a family man. He just changes like personalities in the movie and becomes different characters. And there's a limo service and there's weird art and I don't know. Just so, watch the trailer.
But it's some psychedelic movie.
Psychedelic, it's not beautiful. It just looks messed up and awesome.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to explain it.
But it's not we can tell you what it's not. It's not like a comedy.
It's not heartwarming. Yeah.
It's not a romantic
comedy. It's not Meet the Fockers.
Right, exactly. Okay. It is not Meet the Fockers. Yeah. Go watch, not the Meet the Fockers.
I'm out.
The other one was
American Scream.
American Scream, which is the guys who made Best Worst Movie. You guys have seen that?
No.
Oh, man. Go see that, too.
Okay.
That's on Netflix. Oh, wait, I think it's Netflix or Amazon Instant Video.
Yeah.
Anyways, basically, it's a documentary about people setting up the Halloween setups in their houses.
Right.
And it follows three different families. Again, this people already happened. Halloween's
people
over.
People make haunted houses on their...
On their lawns and stuff like that. But it's a you know deeper documentary about the people behind it and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Seems really cool. Also, Best Worst Movie, go see that.
Right.
There's my trailers.
Nice. I want to know... We got to start talking. We tried to do this before. We never did. We got to talk about Alex's quest to watch all the Schwarzenegger movies.
Oh, you mean...
Is that a real thing?
You mean
this is a real thing.
Schwarzenegger-a-thon.
Schwarzenegger-a-thon?
That's a bad name.
Schwarzenegger-a-thon.
Schwarzenegger-a-thon.
Schwarzenegger-a-thon is good.
Yeah.
All right.
Just do that one.
All right. We can workshop it.
What's the Schwarzenegger-a-thon?
The Schwarzenegger-a-thon is... I recently moved in with my girlfriend, and she loves Schwarzenegger.
Right.
Not his films, not his political career, maybe his bodybuilding
his body,
career.
I was going to say, just a little bit of body.
But just really his raw persona.
Yeah.
And so I had assumed she had seen all of the Schwarzenegger films, and she had not. So we immediately compiled a list of all the major Schwarzenegger films, starting with Hercules in New York in the 70s, mm-hmm. going all the way through The Last Stand.
Didn't they dub him over in Hercules in New York?
You know, we haven't watched it yet. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't wait to find out, though.
I had never seen it, but I saw the little clip that they played in Pumping Iron, the documentary,
mm-hmm.
which is a good documentary, by the way.
I'm sure it is.
Is that on your list?
No.
You see that one?
No.
Oh.
That's too real.
It should be. It should totally be on your
list.
Oh,
that though. Should be on your list, though.
You think so?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
All right, I'll have to make
it's a
note
it's
of
an
that.
Entertaining documentary about bodybuilding right when it was starting to get popular.
Mm.
You know.
Is that the one where he mentions the pump and how it's...
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, that is the one.
That's the list.
Yeah, there's all kinds of great stuff.
So we have a list that's about 30 or 40 titles. Well, maybe not that many, but like around 30 titles next to our TV. We're just crossing them off one by one. And last night we watched Eraser.
Oh, what a good movie.
A 1996 classic.
Wow.
Is that the one with the Gauss rifles?
Yes.
Oh, what a good movie.
And what's her name? Who's the model that's in that?
Irrelevant. Gauss rifles.
Irrelevant.
Oh, I want to say like Vivica A. Fox.
That's right. I think that's right.
Is that her?
Yeah.
That's because I just watched the trailer and I remember.
She's fantastic for the time. Like she's like a,
she's fantastic for 1996.
What I'm saying is like you're watching Arnie just kind of be Arnie. I feel like the height of his action career. Like he's very, he's immaculate. He's incredibly ripped.
Immaculate.
He's... He's like totally on his game. He delivers every one-liner with precision.
I see.
And he looks awesome, like dual-wielding Gauss rifles in the middle of a warehouse. And like and he knocks out James Caan while they're like dangling from a shipping container over a fire. It's just fantastic. And Vivica A. Fox is kind of like a – she doesn't –
She's kind of out of place, really. I watched the trailer again, and I was like, wow, she's stiff.
Well,
she's like, oh, we should go do this thing. And then, oh, yes, we should do it. Arnold, that's a bad impersonation. But then she's like, but then, you know, she just seems like the so straight-laced. I mean, that's her role.
Well,
but
that's kind of her character. Yeah. She's like the really uptight, kind of nervous, high-powered businesswoman. But she has, like, some teeth. Like, for a female lead in 96, she doesn't take crap from anybody. It's fantastic. Like,
you heard it here first, Vivica Fox doesn't take crap from
I'm
anybody.
Pretty sure she saves Arnie's life at least twice.
Yeah, so in this movie, and this is totally not Arnold's best movie.
No,
it really depends
on what you're looking for in an Arnie movie.
No, it's not.
I can
on
probably
any,
agree that.
In any metric.
It's a good action movie.
What's the favorite one you've watched so far?
Red Heat. Yeah, only for that first five
the
minutes.
The first,
though.
Yeah, that's just the thing.
The rest of the movie is terrible.
Red Heat is a good 5 minutes, and then they ran out of movie.
For me, it's a toss up between Twins, the one with Danny DeVito.
Twins is really good.
And Kindergarten Cop.
All right, so Kindergarten Cop is way underrated. It's actually really good.
Yeah.
And I don't know. No, Commando? Commando's the one with the most one-liners.
But his action movies are like, they're great action movies, but Kindergarten Cop was just heartwarming and endearing. He was so weird in it.
That's what I'm discovering. It's like, we haven't seen Commando yet.
True Lies, I kind of get both in True
Lies.
Ooh,
True Lies.
True Lies is really good.
I would say True Lies or Twins. No. I really like Twins.
I want to give an honorable mention to Last Action Hero, which was so kind.
Oh, what a good
but
one.
It was so weird that we couldn't really finish it. Like, I didn't like the kid very much, and I got really confused.
Oh, that was meta. It was like a movie about a movie, right?
Yeah, it's a movie about itself.
He falls out of a
movie. It's a Schwarzenegger movie about all the Schwarzenegger movies.
Let me bring it together for a minute one time. Where can we get all these things? The digitally we're talking about.
That's
this
a good,
is a digital
they're
podcast.
Scattered all over.
That's been the fun of the quest of the Schwarzenegger Armageddon.
Oh, that's a
Schwarzenegger. We decided.
That's it. That's the one.
Schwarzenegger Armageddon.
They're spread out all over. Many are available on Netflix. A lot are available actually on Amazon Prime instant streaming. Like, that's how we watched Eraser. We watched the Red Sonja is on there. Red Heat is on there. So that's a good spot to go.
So Amazon and Netflix seem to covers most of them.
They've got the lion's share of Arnie's filmography.
Okay.
Now, are you watching these chronologically or randomly?
No, just randomly.
Oh, you got to do it chronologically.
Well, we're watching it because it's
seen
taken,
develop as
it's
an
taken
actor.
More than a month to get through this list. It's like, what are we in the mood for tonight? Is it an action movie? Is it
an action movie? A funny action movie? A cute action movie? Yeah. A sweet action movie?
Is it a meta action
or
movie?
Or Kindergarten Cop?
I'm going to move it along to my movie pick, and then we'll do your block of movie stuff. Right?
Well, maybe.
Okay, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe.
Whoa. Well, laying down the law.
No pressure.
No, sure, no we're pressure. Not. Right. I just want to mention Beauty is Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of this?
I have not heard of this, no.
Cool. So it's a documentary about this guy named Wayne White, who basically developed most of the set for Pee-wee's Playhouse. He's a genius, and he also worked on Peter Gabriel, like some Peter Gabriel videos, some really cool stuff in the era.
A lot of the stop motion-y kind of stuff,
right.
A lot of those weird props.
And huge props. I mean, he can make something out of nothing. He's a painter as well, and he's got this really interesting painting style that he's doing now. And it's basically just looking at his life, but also all the different kind of people he's interacted with.
Yeah.
Great documentary in its own right, and also he's a really interesting guy.
Yeah,
so.
It was just a little bit of the trailer that kind of lays down what the movie's about.
My mission is to bring humor into fine art. Ladies and gentlemen, the world's largest George Jones head.
I think when you're an artist, you want to put your stuff out there just because of the exuberance of being creative, and then you feel bad about yourself. So I see that in Wayne's work.
Beauty is embarrassing.
It's beautiful out here. It's so beautiful, it hurts my feelings.
That's a great ending. That was actually the voice of Matt Groening too.
Yep.
So a lot of different people in the entertainment industry.
They talked
to
a lot of the people who are big name stars who were really heavily influenced by him.
Yeah. I mean, he influenced a lot more people than you would think, and he influenced me. Like, the end of that documentary, me and my girlfriend both were like, wow, we need to go create something. Like, we're already doing stuff, but it made you feel like
I'm making a diorama right now.
It makes you feel like the takeaway was it makes it feel like it's worth something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, when you do create all these things, I do shows, I do podcasts, we do different things, and it feels flat sometimes. You're like, oh, wait, what am I doing this for? Well, he just inspired me again by watching that. So,
okay.
And that's on Amazon Instant Streaming or Instant Video and Vudu.
Okay.
Most of normal places.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nate wanted to talk about Blazing Saddles.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is a great
Blazing Saddles, amazing movie. Mostly, I
did you watch it recently?
Blast from the Past.
Yeah. Recently, it's on Amazon Instant Video, yeah. Prime Instant Video, whatever it's called. But there was a Mel Brooks Blu-ray collection deal, so it's not quite as smart to get in. Because there are fewer movies.
See how he changed the name? See how he changed the name? He changed the name.
Yeah.
It's a better name.
I'm owning it. I've got to own it.
Yeah.
So it's not quite that epic journey, but I've got all the Mel Brooks Blu-rays.
I've only seen like three of his movies.
I can lend you the Blu-rays.
I feel like they're hit and miss, though.
They are largely hit and miss,
really?
But
more so than F. Schwarzenegger movies.
Yeah, you've got to see History of the World and Blazing Saddles.
Of course. Yeah. I've seen
History of the World, Blazing Saddles. I still like Spaceballs, even though people make fun of it.
Yeah,
I love Spaceballs.
Well, it was a moment in time, yeah. So you know, right. We all knew about that.
I mean, I still love Star Wars. It's actually not that great of a movie.
Well,
I should go. I'm sorry.
So, awkward silence after that one.
Where's that? Where's a button for that?
Star Wars. Where's the awkward silence?
Wait, no, the cricket. We should do cricket button.
Guys, I was talking about Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. If you like that, then you should go.
So Blazing Saddles is on Amazon. It's a video.
And it's
old school.
It's great. It's old school, but it holds up really well, I found.
So it's a comedy about what?
It's a comedy about a black sheriff.
Racism.
It's a comedy about racism.
It is, yeah.
It's a black sheriff who becomes, a black guy becomes sheriff of a white town in the Midwest in the late 1800s. Hmm. And the town.
And comedy ensues.
And comedy ensues, right? It's just a very, very good time, but very, very racially motivated.
Well, we have a lot of younger listeners, and every time we mention things that we think they know, they don't. So, Blazing Saddles, you didn't know about it.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of sayings that people have taken, that the whole "we don't need no stinking badges."
Right.
Oh,
there's things people say all the time that are from that movie that you probably, a lot of younger people probably don't know they're from that movie or where they come from.
Yeah, yeah.
It holds up, though.
Yeah.
Because it's out of place. So, that's a
sort
Western,
of segue?
That's a Western that sort of segues me into why I got thinking about Steve Martin this week.
Okay. And I see how you wanted to get to where you're going.
Yeah,
now.
See,
here you go.
Yeah, there's the thing. So my friend, who's an editor, tweeted something about how people misuse the word plethora. Plethora, they use it to mean a lot of something. It means too much of something, right? Mm-hmm. So pro tip for you people who are writing, plethora means too much of something.
Okay.
But everything I know about that word, I learned from this scene in Three Amigos.
I have put many beautiful piñatas in the storeroom, each of them filled with little surprises.
Many piñatas?
Oh, yes, many. Would you say I have a plethora of piñatas? A what? A plethora. Oh, yes. You have a plethora.
Jefe, what is a plethora?
Why, guapo?
Well, you told me I have a plethora. And I just would like to know if you know what a plethora is. I would not like...
Okay, and it goes on for a bit.
It goes on for a little bit. And so Three Amigos is a fairly funny movie about these three Hollywood actors who have made all of these movies where these cheap, westerns where they're the three amigos who go down and, beat up bad guys and save little towns in Mexico and stuff. And, of course, and they lose their jobs with the studio. And they're totally pampered Hollywood types. And it's Steve Martin and Chevy Chase and Martin Short.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then a lady who really needs help in Mexico sees one of their films, thinks they're real people, contacts them.
Hilarity ensues.
Brings them down, and the hilarity is they think they're there for a movie shoot.
Yep.
She's really relying on them to save the town. Hilarity ensues. It's also sort of a racially charged movie that's sort of, it seems racist at first, but it comes back around, and it's really anti-racist against Mexican people and stuff like that.
Sure.
So it's really good, and I started watching some of my favorite scenes from that, with the singing bush and stuff like that, and it got me looking up other Steve Martin stuff, and I started watching other Steve Martin movies and everything.
And are these ones you have not seen before, or
seen most of them, and I have my favorites, like The Jerk, which
of course
is probably his best.
It's awesome.
And if you haven't seen that, you have to see it. It is so goofy and funny.
Amazon.com instant streaming?
I have only found it on Amazon instant streaming. It's not on Prime Instant, so you got to pay money to rent it or whatever, but it's on Amazon. And you can find some of these, some of the other ones on Netflix, mm-hmm. but not a lot. I like really like L.A. Story and stuff like that. But.
I just looked at L.A. Story. I've never seen that. I'd always seen the trailer of it. Yeah.
Oh, it's very funny, especially if you've ever lived like in Southern California.
Yeah, it's about like the art scene, the L.A. scene, and the kind of douchebaggery. And it looked really good. I'm going to go back and watch that.
So now we're going to play a little game before I get talking further in Steve Martin's career. Because he started as a stand-up comedian. Then and was on SNL for a long time.
Right.
Saturday Night Live for you kids who don't watch the SNL.
Jeez, we have to spell everything out now.
And then you know, started doing a bunch of movies. So the game here is we're going to go around the table and you have to name, all you have to do is name a movie that Steve Martin was a principal movie,
a principal star in a movie.
And we'll just go around till you guys get stuck and whoever's the last person to keep naming something wins.
Wait, I'm
Alex,
really bad
name
at movie
any
names.
Steve Martin movie.
The Jerk?
There you go.
We already did that.
Nope.
Shut up.
It's fine. All right, Jerk.
Wait, that doesn't count.
That's fine. Whatever. He's making a face like, oh my God, I don't know any Steve Martin.
I don't think I've seen
Roxanne.
Roxanne, good. Yeah.
I've
got to
hold
this because
I'm totally cheating.
Tully's going to cheat.
I'm going to have to say Three Amigos.
Three Amigos. You guys know other movies.
I don't.
Alex.
Well, you're not playing?
I have the list.
Well, I don't care anytime. Damn, I keep wanting to say he's in Ghostbusters, but he's not in Ghostbusters.
He's so not in Ghostbusters.
I think it's Nate's shirt.
I know a movie, but I don't know the name of it.
If you say it, I will remember it, but I can't think of anything right now.
You can't think of
anything. I'm out. I can't.
Here's what we're going to do, Jason. I'm going to say one more, I think. Right. And then you could just give hints of what the types of the movie is, like maybe what the type of the movie is, and then we all might get it.
But wasn't he like a dad in some movie sometime?
He sure was.
A couple?
Was he in Three Weddings and a Funeral or something like that? Or am I making that up?
Oh, wait, was he in... Not Three Weddings and a Funeral.
Three Weddings and a Baby or something like that?
mixed two movies together, I think.
You're
thinking
Martin's
of
wedding.
Father of the Bride.
Father of the Bride. Yep.
That was the one I was thinking.
We're not accepting Father of the Bride Part 2 as a separate thing, so you don't get to do both of those.
What's the one he was in with... Is it Claire Danes?
Yes.
That movie...
You got to come up with a name.
Yeah, I know. That movie, I know.
You know a million other names.
I know. I'm sure I do. But what's that movie? Just tell me that movie so I can feel better.
Are you thinking Shop Girl?
Shop Girl is what I was thinking.
He wrote that.
He wrote it. Okay.
It's a novella he wrote.
Yeah. He's in Little Shop of Horrors.
He sure is.
Yeah.
But he's not a lead. He's the dentist.
Yeah. He's the dentist. He has the best scene in that entire movie.
He's
by far.
You wild and crazy guys. Too wild and crazy. That's an SNL sketch.
That's an SNL sketch.
Was he in Roadhogs?
That's half credit.
I don't Wild think Hogs? He was in Roadhogs. Oh, I got to find Little Shop of Horrors and mark that off because that's good.
I think we could. I think
you guys are terrible.
We're bad at this
we're
game.
Terrible.
Well, this particular, and so I love Steve Martin, but yeah, I can't figure out why I don't know these.
Yeah, so he was. Come on. You win if you get the. They're stumped. You get.
Well, I got two. Didn't I get? Wait.
If you come up with anything,
I got Roxanne.
There's a guy who looks like Steve Martin in Metropolis.
I got Roxanne. You guys
think that
get...
counts. Damn. I think that counts.
Doesn't count. I got Roxanne and I knew Shop Girl, so I got one.
You
and
didn't
half
know
points.
The name Shop Girl, though.
I got one and a half.
I had
points.
To give you the name.
Hold on, let me think for one more second. Oh my goodness.
I can't think of anything.
There's a million. You guys know so many.
Okay, give us a hint. Give us a hint, like a type of a movie, and then we'll get it.
Da-da.
Pink Panther.
Pink Panther. All right.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
See, that's 2 points.
The terrible remakes of the Pink Panther.
Yeah.
Not the good ones. Don't watch.
Do another thing. I bet you it's right here.
Let's see. How about? He was in a couple of like just serious dramas that he didn't do.
Do
you remember one?
Excuse me, I keep burping.
It's not at all a comedy.
It's not. Oh man.
How about Shakespeare? He was in Shakespeare.
Oh, the one with the huge where he had the huge nose and.
Uh-huh.
See, that's, I know it.
No, that's the one. That's the one he mentioned before.
Oh,
Roxanne.
Yeah.
Which is a take on Cyrano de Bergerac. But that's not it. That's what I'm thinking of.
Do another hint because that one I think I lost.
Okay.
That's a serious movie.
I don't think.
Crazy People? Not Crazy People.
I think we're really bad at this quiz.
Yeah.
You guys are
you want to do a Schwarzenegger quiz instead?
I know.
Because right. We can do that.
All right, so here's some of the movies he was in. He was actually in a scene in the Muppet movie, but we're not going to count that. He's not really principally in it. Dead Man Don't Wear Plaid, which have you guys seen
I know
that?
Of that movie.
Never
I haven't
heard
seen
of that.
You have got to see this movie. This is an old black and white noir detective movie. It's got scenes of him doing a black and white noir detective movie cut in with actual clips of other old older noir movies. Whoa. So he'll be on the phone with somebody, and the other end of the phone are clips of an old detective movie.
It seems super cool.
I can't believe it's hilarious.
Is that really Netflix? You know, I wonder if that's
I actually have no idea what that's on. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Of course.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh my goodness, this is my favorite movie of all time.
Parenthood is the one you were looking for.
Damn.
About
My Blue Heaven.
My Blue Heaven, L.A. Story, Leap of Faith. You guys ever seen that one?
No.
It's okay. It's one about like one of those fake faith healer guys who is totally phony and knows it and everything. The Spanish Prisoner is the David Mamet movie I was thinking of that he's totally serious in and he's really good. Bowfinger was the one.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah, it's not good. That's bad.
I don't know about that. The story of that movie is really interesting.
Let's not discuss that.
Look it up on Wikipedia.
Okay. And Cheaper by the Dozen is the one with like all the kids and stuff, everything.
Right.
And Merchant of Venice is the Shakespeare movie.
Okay.
And Shop Girl and Baby Mom. Then he gets into bad stuff like Baby Mama and Pink Panther and stuff like that.
He's been in quite a few films.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
I want to take this opportunity, though, because you brought Steve Martin up, and I don't think I've mentioned on the podcast before, but one of his first albums, I don't know this, and people listening just go IMDb it or Google it or figure it out.
Right.
But one of his first albums was actually like him talking about comedy.
Yeah.
And it was so... You guys listen to it? It's just like he's explaining like what like he thinks, like how things are funny. And he's the guy who showed me the idea about why people laugh is because it's this kind of pent up like tension and fear, and they have to let it out. And so then when you do weird, kind of awkward like comedy, which I love and do, is like they don't know when to laugh, and so it's kind of different.
It's hard to pull that off.
It's like, really hard to pull that off.
He's the only comedian I can think of who've ever been funny with like a rubber arrow through his head, like ever, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, you should find that thing digitally.
So then his career's taken this weird turn where he has decided that he's pretty much done with the movie thing. He's just going to play some bluegrass because he's been playing banjo for you know 30 years or something like that ever since his early career as a
fun fact about banjo.
Yes,
just learned this. I'm reading this book that's called The History of the United States. No, History of the World.
Right.
It's Mental Floss. Check it out. It's amazing. Yeah. It's like funny but history. Banjo is a word from this old tribe called Bantu tribe. They're in Africa.
Yeah,
they had really, really crazy hard to like 10 different things for nouns.
Okay,
like 10 different like versions.
Right,
a few words that were left over from the Bantu language. Banjo is one of them.
Okay.
Fun fact.
If you want more fun facts about banjos, he narrates a documentary about. You know. He narrates a documentary about banjo.
Oh yeah,
you can. I don't remember the name of the film.
Weird.
If you did. Banjo documentary, Steve Martin and Google, I'm sure it'll turn up. But you know, he decides to start this banjo career, playing banjo and in bluegrass and stuff. He records an album called The Crow, New Songs for the Five-String Banjo, and it wins a Grammy for Best Bluegrass. And he is incredible. Like, listen how good he is.
You know, it's funny. Is Woody Allen plays an instrument too? What's he play? The clarinet
recorder?
Clarinet, I think. Yeah. And you're like, what? Really, Woody Allen? What? So, Steve Martin?
So yeah, Steve Martin. I mean, he writes all the songs on that album. He wrote that song and all the others. He's got a lot of famous people on that album, Dolly Parton and stuff like that.
Wow.
So it's fantastic, and you should go check out that album too. But yeah, so now he's Grammy award winning, and whenever he talks about his like banjo playing and bluegrass music, it's funny because he's dead serious. Like,
right.
He's not cracking jokes. He's a normal guy, but it's just like they're talking to some musician guy, and they try and like pull in the comedy and stuff, and he's just
about banjo. A lot of people who do entertainment in general, like they have a couple different things they love, you know. And for me, I love music too, just as much. And I'm dead serious about it. So if someone sees me do like a funny little sketch where I got a wig on, they're like, "That guy does music." Whatever. They just you put people in little categories.
Right.
So Steve Martin, he's a good banjo player.
So he's an incredible banjo player and writes music and bluegrass. And now he's rolling around with these guys called the Steep Canyon Rangers, which is a bluegrass band. And recording songs, and there's a couple of them that are kind of funny. I got a clip of one here called "Atheists Ain't Got No Songs," which is doesn't have any. It's all a cappella, but it's funny.
Some folks sing a bacantata. Lutherans get Christmas trees. Atheist songs at up to nada.
Up to nada.
But they do, have Sundays free.
Have Sundays free.
Pentecostal saints.
Pentecostal saints.
Sing to heaven.
Sing to heaven.
Coptics head the book of scrolls.
Numerologists count
to seven.
Count to seven.
Atheists have rock and roll.
That's funny.
It's awesome.
That's pretty good.
That's and there's better parts to the song, but you know, I don't want to.
Well, now you know a lot about Steve Martin.
It's I just started going off on Steve
Martin.
This is
what happens in the rabbit hole.
Yeah, and of course, if you just go on like Spotify or any RDO or any of these things, mm-hmm. and you type in Steve Martin, you'll find this weird thing where you find all these really old comedy albums that are all stand-up comedy and they're really funny. And then there's this giant gap of years where he did a bunch of TV and movies and not really produced albums. And then all of a sudden, it just switches to bluegrass.
Yeah, yeah.
Serious bluegrass music.
Well, that's interesting because that's what we do. I mean, that's kind of what we're like encouraging when people listen to the show is to go check out a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
The minute you check out the one thing, you're like, oh, well, then there's the other thing. So it's kind of part of our culture now. You just
falling
go on these rabbit holes.
Yeah.
Digital rabbit hole. That's the name of this episode.
Oh,
digital rabbit hole.
Write it down.
All right.
Before we,
I was gonna name it Atheist Don't Got No Songs, but all right.
No, digital rabbit hole. I want to mention real quick, Press Reset from The Verge, the Polygon, I mean. Polygon launched.
It's launched?
Polygon
yeah.
launched,
yeah. And so there's this really cool like documentary series about the launch of Polygon, and it's called Press, it's just, I think it's polygon.com/press-reset. So it's really cool. I love watching it. It was kind of inspiring.
I saw the first parts of it, because they were like sort of trickling out. Hmm. I think it's like a 4-part episode.
No, there's nine now.
There's
and the last one is the one that they're launching.
Yeah.
Right. And you actually watch them launch the site with like a clicking the little button.
Big
press
button.
Press the live button.
So it's really cool. I think you should watch it.
Welcome to the Internet Polygon. It's
yeah.
Glad to have you.
Yeah.
Glad to have you. So is that it?
That's about it for this week.
Okay.
I think.
Thanks a lot, Nate, for stopping by.
Yeah.
You're in his house. What's your Twitter at?
I am at Nate Rao. It's very.
That's your name.
Super,
that's
super
easy.
Nice.
Yeah. And Jason Cross is.
Jason Cross 00.
And Alex Waro is.
What am I? AWAWRO.
You almost missed your chance. And I'm Noah Onawa, ONAWA. You can email us at entertainment@techhive.com.
Yeah.
Also, we're on the Twitters at TechHive.
Right.
Oh, and if you're watching this in the video version,
yes.
you can see that the walls, both sides, are blank. There's nothing on these walls.
These are like pin boards.
They're pin boards. So we can put things with pins in them. Oh, funny callback to the beginning of the episode. Mm. Not Pinterest style. But send us your stuff. How are they going to send it to us?
Just send it to the email.
Okay, so send us pictures.
We'll send us things to print out and pin on the wall.
Yes, and we
Or if you have an actual physical thing to send us to go up here, send us like a picture of it and say, hey, I want to send you this. And
okay.
We'll give you an address or something.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's probably easier just to send just an image.
Yeah,
but some of them can't be images.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Like if it's not something we can print out.
Help us fill this wall.
Yeah, because right now we have a robot, which is cool. We have Ralph Wiggum on the table, and that's about it. So we need some stuff. So send it to us if you're watching the video.
Pin him to the
entertainment.
Wall,
you can't pin Ralph.
Entertainment.techhive.com stuff, and we'll put that on there. And then you'll see your stuff on the video versions of this because we're recording these
You'll be famous.
And putting up video things.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's it. Bye.
Should we wave to the cameras or something?
Yeah, we didn't last time, but now it's really awkward.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Hi. Bye.